because we got the alternative energy. Right. On nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Welcome to the Radioactive Show. I'm Michaela. A few weeks ago, we spoke with Yolanda Badback from the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe in Utah in the United States about the community opposition to the White Mesa Uranium Mill, the United States' only operating uranium mill that is causing serious environmental contamination and impacting the health of the community. We spoke with Yolanda because the company operating the mill, Energy Fuels, is collaborating with Astron Corporation to extract rare earth and mineral sands from the Wimmera region, 300 kilometres northwest from Melbourne in so-called Victoria. The ore will undergo some processing on site before being shipped to the United States, where uranium will also be extracted from the ore, making the Donald Mine a source of a commercial quantity of uranium for the first time in Victoria's history, despite a state ban on uranium mining. You can listen back to that episode called Uranium Mining by Stealth on our webpage at 3cr.org.au/radioactive. Today, we're going to learn more about the White Mesa Mill and other struggles against nuclear colonization that are being faced by the Ute Mountain, Ute, and White Mesa communities by delving into the Radioactive Show archives and bringing you a show produced by K.A. Garlick in 2017 after she joined them at a protest at the White Mesa Uranium Mill.
What are we here for?
Shut down the mill!
Hello and welcome, I'm KA. On this week's Radioactive Show, I'm taking you into the community of White Mesa that is part of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe and what is happening on their lands with the uranium mill. The Ute Mountain Ute tribal lands is more well known as Utah, Colorado and New Mexico in the United States. Earlier this year, I was privileged to be invited by the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe to walk on their land against the White Mesa uranium mill. Across the Colorado Plateau, irresponsibly operated uranium mills have devastated landscapes and communities. I begin the show at the gates of the uranium mill with the discussion that happened between the tribal officer protecting the mill and with the Ute Mountain Ute tribal councilwoman, Priscilina Rabbit. I speak with Anne-Marie Tapp, an attorney working with the Grand Canyon Trust, and community member Ephraim Dutchy. And finally, I'll finish the show with an interview from an amazing young Dene woman, Leonie Morgan, who's from the Dene No Nukes and is heading the campaign Hall No about why she was at the protest.
Do you have any kind of...
Officers helping us protest.
Do you have any independent verification about where the county line ends and the property?
But they said
it was private property because that's what the company told them.
This is their driveway. Okay, there's no through traffic to this. Once you go onto that property, you have to leave this area and be clean to come back out. Okay, there's the decontamination area. Once we go up there, okay, this is the best thing for this operation is to go back to the head of the drive and start moving people back to White Mesa so you guys can do the meeting down there.
Because what kind of area was it?
What
kind of area was it? What did you say, what kind of area it was?
It's a contained area.
No. What did you say before? What did you say?
Decontaminate if you go onto the area.
Yes.
Yeah, that's part of the cleaning process for everybody who comes on.
I'm really glad that you said that because contamination is what this mine does. This milling. You just had that word. And you know what? Yes, you don't work for the Ute tribe, but you have obligations to us. Exactly. And you just got through saying contamination, right? Didn't he say contamination?
Yes!
Right. Okay. You're a man of a badge. I'm glad you had said that because these people have been advocating for what's happening, what this mill brings to its people. You just clarified that. The man of the badge has clarified contamination and to in our waters, in our lands. The environment around us?
I confirm that they
decontaminate,
okay, but do not misquote
me
and say that they're contaminated.
No, you just done said, sorry.
You're listening to The Radioactive Show, produced for 3CR Community Radio on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri peoples in Naarn, otherwise known as Melbourne. You were just listening to the protest that happened at the gates of the White Mesa uranium mill between the patrol officer and the Ute Mountain Ute tribe. As you heard, the tribal woman Priscilina Rabbit, contamination is what this uranium milling does. The man with the badge clarified that this area is contaminated. The tribe has been advocating for what is happening at the mill and that this mill does and what this mill does to the people. Contamination of the water, the lands and the environment around them. I continue the interviews at the gates with Anne-Marie Tapp and Ephraim Dutchy.
My name is Anne-Marie Tapp and I'm an attorney. I work with the Grand Canyon Trust as well as White Mesa Concerned Community and Living Rivers. So we just walked from the White Mesa, Ute Mountain Ute White Mesa Community Center about 3 miles to the border of the White Mesa Uranium Mill, which is the last operating conventional uranium mill in the United States. It's the location where all of the uranium ore that's mined in the U.S., the United States Southwest, is processed, and it also serves as a recycling site for toxic radioactive waste from all across North America and Canada. And so it's really one of the keystones of both the regional uranium industry and also the national toxic and radioactive waste disposal industry. So that's the site that we just arrived at. The march that we just participated in was led by Ute Mountain Ute tribal members Thelma Whiskers and Yolanda Badback. They're a family who live in White Mesa, again about 3 miles from this uranium mill. And they've been organizing their community because they're the nearest impacted people to the mill, and the mill is also located on sites that are sacred to the tribe and poses a threat both to air quality and water quality in the region. The mill is currently in the middle of a relicensing process, and it's proposing to accept more toxic waste from a site called the Sequoia Fuel Site, which is located in Gore, Oklahoma. And so we're trying to generate awareness both of the site's existence, the underlying problems here at the White Mesa Mill, and also to generate, to recruit people to participate in this open public comment process. One of the things that's happened, sort of stepping back, is that in Utah, there are a lot of disposal sites that are close to major urban communities like Salt Lake, and those tend to get a lot of rigorous public scrutiny and participation, and they're really held to very high standards. Whereas down here in San Juan County, which is relatively unpopulated, and the nearest communities are tribal communities, we've just really observed that the site receives a lot less scrutiny from regulators, and there are a lot of problems developing at the site. To touch on a few of those problems, the White Mesa Uranium Mill emits radon, which is a radioactive, invisible, odorless air pollutant that is the second leading cause of lung cancer in the United States. And in 2014, the mill violated the Clean Air Act's requirement for radon emissions. And so the Grand Canyon Trust, which is a leading regional conservation organization concerned about uranium contamination in this area, sued under the Clean Air Act and sued the mill directly. So that lawsuit is ongoing and trying to force the mill back into compliance with the Clean Air Act and also implement stronger reclamation standards. Another problem at the mill is that there's a pattern of groundwater contamination in the shallow aquifer that underlies the mill sites. And we're seeing trends of rising heavy metals and uranium concentrations increasing in that shallow groundwater. Below that is a deeper aquifer called the N aquifer, which supplies the water for southeastern Utah, and we're deeply concerned that over time contamination of that deeper aquifer would be catastrophic for the region. So those are some of the reasons that we're here today, and it's just really amazing to see the solidarity both regionally and internationally, and we hope that this issue continues to rise both in regional, national, and international importance to people.
Oh,
there's a lot of people doing a lot of harm to Mother Earth, you know. Australia is one of them. North Dakota, Washington. You know, it don't matter if it's uranium or oil. We all come together because it has something to do with water. And water is what we're all running low on. And we got to do, we got to protect our water. Because without water, our animals that we eat will not be watered. Our food that we eat will not be watered. Water is everything. Water is the blood of Mother Earth.
Thank you guys for standing with White Mesa. Thank you guys for showing us your support and seeing firsthand what we go through here on my res. Okay, now, this meal wanna run uranium from Grand Canyon through White Mesa. What about the kids on that road that ride the bus every morning? What if there's an accident, one of those uranium trucks wreck right middle of Bluff or White Mesa? Where are we all gonna go? Are we gonna have to be contaminated out of our own residence? How are we gonna go about this? Our kids are gonna miss school? And I just want you guys to know, this is what us White Mesa people are going, what we're going through. This is why we're trying to stop this meal, is for better water, better air quality for our children. Not for us, for the child, our children, your grandchildren, you know, because we don't know how long they're going to be running that stuff from Grand Canyon all the way up here. And there's a lot of you who like to go to Monument Valley to go visit it, to go hiking. That's going to stop you once there's a uranium spill. It's going to be held off for days, maybe even, you know, weeks. We don't know that. So it's up to us, you know, to make this movement strong, to make this movement powerful. So hopefully next round, you know, we'll have more people here to support us. We'll spread the word out more. We'll have more brothers and sisters here. We're all family here. We're all trying to live this sacred world, this sacred life. Without sacred life, there's nothing. We all got to fight together. We got to make everything right together. And be as one. A whole.
And you've been listening to community members from the White Mesa community about their concerns with the White Mesa uranium mill that is only 3 miles down the road from their community. For the mill, it's about money, and for the community, it's about contamination. And finally on today's show, I speak with Leona Morgan from the Dene No Nukes group, who was on the walk in protest of the uranium mill.
Hi, my name is Leona Morgan, and I'm with an organization I helped to get started called Dene No Nukes. And Dene is our word for ourselves. It means the people in Dene, but most people know us as Navajo. So I grew up on the res, and I have my family is actually from the eastern part of Navajo Nation, which is in New Mexico, actually close to Chaco Canyon. But that's my dad's side. And then my mom's side, they're more close to a place called Standing Rock. But my mom is from Nahadishkij, my dad is from Vicente, New Mexico, or Glodetsin. Those are the Navajo, the words for those places. Anyways, my family lives in an area that was mined, and I started learning about uranium mining in 2007, and I graduated from college in 2006, and a month later my friend invited me to a meeting about uranium mining on one of our sacred mountains, And that was the first meeting I went to, and I started learning, and it took me a year to understand everything, but I got really involved more in 2007. And I now work on several issues dealing with uranium mining, connecting it to the whole nuclear fuel chain. So in New Mexico, that's really the birthplace of the nuclear age, and we have several sites in New Mexico that most people don't know about, such as the Trinity site, Los Alamos National Labs, even Sandia National Labs. We have lots of contamination. One of the current issues I'm working on in New Mexico is this thing called centralized interim storage. The government is trying to build a place to store waste from nuclear power plants. And so there's two proposals that would really affect southeast New Mexico. And I live in Albuquerque. That's my temporary home. When I get older, I'll move back to the res where my dad is from. We have a house in an area out there close to Crown Point, New Mexico. So our family, our house is in Vicente. And I lived out there for a little while by myself. And I want to return there maybe one day to have a family, or if I'm lucky to have a family. But anyways, in Albuquerque, that's a central, pretty much in the middle of New Mexico, and there's two interstates that cross in New Mexico. There's only two interstates pretty much that go through New Mexico. One's down south, but anyways, these two roads would be where quite certain major thoroughfare for transport of nuclear waste to these sites, as well as the railroad. So when they move the nuclear waste, if they ever move it from power plants to a waste place, we're sure it would come through our area because of the railroad and these two interstates. Pretty much anywhere in the United States, everyone is impacted by transport. And so the transport of anything is very risky, because you know these things are very radioactive, and especially waste from power plants is highly radioactive, and any kind of accident or even being too close to the trucks, if they're not contained well enough, you know, would cause exposure to humans. And so I learned about this issue just last year, but the transport issue affects everyone. And so when I started to learn more about the nuclear waste transport, it made me think of all the uranium transport on the Navajo Nation that happened from the 50s to the 70s when there was this uranium boom. A lot of those roads are still contaminated, and a lot of the places are also contaminated. There's really been no cleanup.
You're listening to Leona Morgan from the Dene No Nukes group, and I asked Leona about the current campaign that she's working on and focusing on.
Right now, one of the other things I'm working on is this campaign called Haul No, which is really focused on the uranium transport that's proposed from a mine near the Grand Canyon that would go through basically the Navajo Nation on the western side. And this mine is owned by a company called Energy Fuels. It's 6 miles south of the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon has this protection around it. So a lot of people think that there's 1 million acres around the Grand Canyon where they don't allow uranium mining. So this was recently approved where 1 million acres would be withdrawn for about 20 years. And that means no new mining can start. What people don't know is that there's 4 mines that have been grandfathered in that are allowed to do mining. Even though they have this protection, there are mines that are able to extract and then transport it for processing. So our group, Haul No, is concerned about any uranium coming from this particular mine called Canyon Mine, which is south of the Grand Canyon and about 3 miles from a sacred place called Red Butte. They would take the uranium out of the ground and then truck it on public roads, and the trucks would be hauling several tons a day, several trucks going back and forth every day, and they would only be covered with tarps. So uranium ore would be moved about 300 miles from the mine through several communities, including Flagstaff, which is a city in northern Arizona, and then the trucks would then go north toward what we call the Four Corners. The Four Corners area in the southwest part of the United States is where these four states meet, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. The mill is in Utah, and so the trucks would go from the mine through the Navajo Nation to White Mesa Mill, and it will go through 180 miles of Navajo Nation land. And our people, our tribe, as a government, has a law against uranium transport. We also have a law against uranium mining that was passed in 2005. The transport law was passed in 2012, but both of these are only within the jurisdiction of the Navajo Nation. So there's a lot of places where there's private land that are like these little windows, little islands of non-Navajo Nation land. And a lot of companies still own land from the 50s and the 70s where they know there's uranium, but they're just waiting. You know, they sell it to other companies and they're waiting for the price of uranium to go up. And the roads, the major highways through the nation, through the Navajo Nation, are state and federal highways. So we don't have jurisdiction on those. So even though our tribe has a law against it, right now our government doesn't really have any enforcement and ability to stop it. So what we're doing is educating folks, spreading awareness, and then we also have a couple strategies. One is more focused on policy. So we attempted to pass a law in Arizona to ask for... monitoring along the haul route, and then some money to be placed aside for cleanup if there was an accident. Because even though the companies are supposed to clean up or put money there, we know it's never adequate and they would do a poor job. And so this law we had introduced into the 2017 Arizona State Legislature. It didn't go anywhere. But the important thing about this law that we're trying to pass is that we cannot get a no transport law, so the best we can hope for that would pass through the government is something more positive, like monitoring to protect people's health or different avenues. So because the state governments and municipalities are so pro-industry because of the jobs and they think it's going to create economic development, they don't account for all the waste and the cost of healthcare and cleanup. But we know it's not an economic, it's not economically viable, and so we're still working to try to get our nation to do something as a tribe, as a nation, an indigenous nation in the Southwest, and then at the state level, and then we're going to also be challenging the U.S. Forest Service, which also is so the Forest Service and the state of Arizona both issued permits to allow this mining, and so we're working to stop the transport, but really the root cause is the mine. Mm. And then also, we also want to address the White Mesa Mill, but with respect to the people here, right now we're in White Mesa, the Ute Mountain Ute community, they want to shut down the mill, and so we support that. Over at the other end, at the mine, the Havasupai tribe lives. They're an indigenous nation that live at the bottom of the canyon. They are currently in court against the mine, and we also support that. So we're, as a Diné community that's in the middle, in communication with the Havasupai, and then also there's another tribe near there, the Wallapai, and then also the Hopi Nation. So we're in communication with individuals, community representatives, and then in some cases the tribal council or governments. Here in White Mesa, we're here to support the community and also wanting to help them shut down the mill. But as Native organizers, what we do is with respect to what the community wants, trying always to take the lead from the indigenous people. And so as indigenous people ourselves, you know, we understand, you know, the importance of sacred places, you know, sovereignty, you know, inherent rights, and then of course environmental justice, indigenous rights, and all those things. But our aim is to be culturally appropriate in how we do these things. And so we're not a big funded organization, we're volunteers. It's a small group right now, but We're hoping to grow, and we're going to be doing a lot of more work. So you can keep updated through our website, which is www.hallknow.org. And you can check out our Facebook as well.
Awesome. Thanks.
Here it comes again, the burning in the blood, the pounding in my brain, the rising of the flood. Every night I pray, begging sleep to come. It's so far away.
And that's it for this week's Rad Show. You've been listening to the current protests and workings of community members of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe to prevent radioactive contamination from occurring on their White Mesa tribal lands in the United States. Thank you so much to all the people that contributed to this show about the White Mesa Uranium Mill, Selena Rabbit, Marianne Tapp and Ephraim Dutchie, and to Leona Morgan from Dene No Nukes and the campaign Hall No, sharing her incredible work that she's doing. Music was by Paul Kelly's digital remaster from 2006 album Words and Music, Beat of Your Heart.
Thanks so much for listening. Today's show was an archival program produced by K.A. Garlick in 2017 and brings to light the struggles faced by the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe and White Mesa Concerned community as they oppose nuclear developments on their country. The first shipments of ore from the Donald Rare Earth Project in Victoria are planned to begin in 2027 and are expected to continue for 58 years, with the mine planned to be the fourth largest rare earth mine outside of China. The Donald Project is a collaboration between Astron Corporation and Energy Fuels in the United States, and would see us making a major contribution to the ongoing environmental disaster and human rights violations that are happening at the White Mesa Uranium Mill. That's all we've got time for on today's program. Thanks so much for tuning into the Radioactive Show. This program was produced in the studios of 3CR on unceded Kulin land and is broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. The program is produced with the support of the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne, and you can sign up for updates at melbournefoe.org.au/nuclear. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.